Hey, you, welcome back everybody to the Good Work Show. We are excited because we have a guest back. He was just on with us a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, so we have back with us Christopher Bruce from the ACLU of Georgia. We promised you that we were going to have somebody come back. We didn't know we were going to get lucky and get Chris back, but to talk to everyone about what you can expect once voting starts. So he's got some really great information. I mean, stuff that both of us were like, oh, so we're not going to prolong this. We're going to get you right to that great content because this is stuff that you're going to want to know as you're heading out to the polls.
That's right. So grab a friend, take some notes because this is great information to learn how you can secure your vote.
Yes. So make a plan to vote, and hear about how you can make sure that that vote counts when it's all said and done.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Good Work Show. We have a familiar face on with us. He was just on with us for a couple weeks ago, and we've got Christopher Bruce back. He is the political director for ACLU Georgia. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, happy to be back. Good to see everyone's healthy and happy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's
been good.
So far.
So far. Right. We're going to keep it up. So we are in the midst of the election time. Right. So now people just started going back to early vote, which is great. If you got your absentee ballot in the mail, we talked a lot about some of those things the last time you were here. But now that there are so many people, and this was even kind of projected, right? So early voting started on October 12th. There were lines already when the polls were open. And it's expected that this is going to be like a big turnout. So obviously, we want everybody to go out and exercise their right to vote. But what should people be looking for? Because you talked to us last time, gave us some really great, interesting information about the average age of poll workers and why you were, you know, trying to recruit young people and IT professionals and legal professionals to work the polls. Now that all of that's happening and people are ready to get out there and go to the polls and vote, what should they be looking for? What's some advice that you should be giving people right now?
Well, first I want to say thank you too for continuously covering this topic. I mean, getting this information out to the public is key as far as having a secure, safe, and accessible way of voting in the state of Georgia. So when it comes to it, yes, Georgia's in early voting right now, and it'll be from October 12th until the Friday before November 3rd. The first day of early voting, some people experience extremely long lines, hour-long waits, and that was just because there was an influx. Everybody went to vote on the first day saying, hey, I cast my ballot, I've done my job, everything else. We're not going to see that as much on the days going forward. Today is going to be a relatively busy day. Wednesday, we're expecting a major drop-off.
Not as many people. Good. That was my plan.
I think I'm going to go on Thursday, so I'll be extra good by Thursday.
Thursday. I would skip this upcoming Friday.
Yes.
In the next 2 weeks afterwards, Tuesday and Wednesdays are going to be key. Days that you do not want to go in, if you want to miss extremely long lines, the Thursday and Friday before the election day. Mm-hmm. And God bless you if you go on November 3rd. I'm just going to say a prayer for you and say, hey, that's great that you're continuing a tradition and anything else, but I would highly recommend early voting.
So I think I just saw something because my dad asked me the question and I know the answer. So I went and found it because that's how my family rolls. But I saw something like over 600,000 ballots have already been cast in the state of Georgia already. So how does that track against, I know it's more, I mean, obviously, but how does that, does it look like we're on trend for a number, or what are we thinking that the final numbers are going to be, or do we know that at all?
Yeah. We're not exactly sure about what the final numbers are going to be, because even when we expected a record turnout, and this is based off of the June 9th primary, remember we had a record turnout for the June 9th primary. Yeah. We've had a record amount of absentee ballot request forms. We're having a record number of people responding back to, I am going to actually vote. So we know Georgia's going to be in the record number. It's just by how much and how are people going to vote? So a lot of people are voting in absentee ballots. A lot of people are voting in person. What I would recommend to everyone, make a voting plan and stick to it. And your voting plan could be a voting absentee. Maybe absentee is not working or you don't trust the mail. It's not going to get there in time. Make sure that this goes to your previous question. If you don't think that you could cast your ballot in a secure drop box or anything else, go in person, but make sure when you go in person, they cancel. Make sure this is very important. They cancel your absentee ballot request or your absentee ballot form altogether. Mm-hmm. And they'll do that on site. This is where a lot of times long lines really mean into it, because this could take a 45-minute process or a 10-minute process, depending on where you are. But make sure before they're going to present you with an affidavit saying that you're not going to double vote. Mm-hmm. Make sure before you sign that form or you go vote that they have confirmed that they have canceled your absentee ballot. Otherwise, you may actually get caught up with what happened back in the June 9th primary, where the Secretary of State is claiming that people double voted. Well, that's supposed to be a legal fiction, because if you present yourself to the state, they're supposed to cancel it. So if there's any form of double voting, that would be on them, not on you. Unfortunately, though, they're trying to put the onus on the individual.
So just to be clear. Yeah, so is it just for a canceled ballot or even a canceled request? Is it both or?
From what I understand, it's both.
Okay.
You can do it out anyway. You're not supposed to be able to get any of this without it. Now, if you go vote in person, well, it's still supposed to be like that. Yeah. So even if you do get your ballot in the mail later on, just make sure you don't send it back after you voted.
So should, if you already received your paper ballot, say you got a mail-in ballot and you decide, never mind, I'm just going to go vote, should you take that ballot with you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so say that all again, because literally there are so many people who requested it that I think it's worth just clear as day as we can. Like, this is important because there was a lot of speculation about people double voting, and we want to make sure that everybody's vote counts and counts once. But I think it's just worth saying that again, because there's a lot of people who were really trying to be proactive and request their ballots via mail, but then may have decided, hey, it's early voting, I actually want to do that. And I've heard a few people who said they did that. I'm hoping that they did exactly what you did and did the cancellation, but I think it's just worth kind of putting another exclamation point on that.
Absolutely. And it is very important that people feel safe and they know how they can vote without fear of being prosecuted by the state or making sure that their vote counts altogether. So if you did request an absentee ballot, but you want to go in person, make sure that when you present yourself to your polling precinct, that you tell them, I have asked for an absentee ballot. Even if you don't, your name's supposed to come up and it's supposed to show that you requested the absentee ballot. But make sure that you take the onus of telling them, I requested an absentee ballot. I want that canceled at this moment, and I want to vote in person. And if you have an absentee ballot with you, go with it and tell them, hand it to them so they can cancel it right there in front of you.
Now, this might seem a little too...
Oh, God. I don't know where this is.
No. This might seem a little too much. But couldn't there just be a question that they ask you to say, hey, you're here. Had you requested an absentee ballot? I mean, I know we're asking a lot of poll workers already, right? Because they're volunteering for 14-hour days. We learned about that last time. It's a long day and they're doing a lot and they're going to see a lot of people. But would it be helpful to just... in the instructions say, hey, did you, in case somebody forgets, you know, or they didn't, or they weren't aware, I mean, there may be some people who have, you know, senior parents or, you know, aunts and uncles, and they requested a ballot, you know, they did the paperwork maybe for them so that they could, you know, prevent their family members from having to go out. And then all of a sudden grandma says, no, I want to go to the poll. She may not know. Right. She may not have known, you know, and if no one asks her or flags it, then it's going to look like grandma tried to subvert the system.
And nobody's trying to throw grandma in jail.
I know, right?
Don't throw grandma in jail, okay? Please. I believe it's a felony in the state of Georgia for doing double voting. So let's please leave grandma alone. And if someone has accused you of double voting or anything else, ACLU of Georgia is taking on those cases for free. So feel free to contact us because, again, it's really not on you. It's up to the state on that, and we'll help guide you through that process. But the problem with your questioning, Lane, or your recommendation is that it is logical and it's rational. Mm. You know, in this environment right now, it will make all the perfect sense for them to ask you that one question. Yeah. They're not going to do it. So we're here now. Just make sure that you and your viewers are very well aware that if you have requested the absentee ballot request, you tell them that up front. Again, it should pop up on the screen, but you let them know.
I'm glad. I feel like I'm about to send an email out to our employees. We've been sending out a lot of stuff, encouraging employees to vote and that kind of stuff. And I feel like this is now going to become like an interim emergency email that's about to go out to everybody.
Think we should just put the video in the embedded in.
Yes, so we probably will just put the whole thing in there and see, like, here's all the stuff that you need to know, because that is something I did not know. And actually, and it's funny, I started to request a ballot and I'm like, you know what, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do a mail-in ballot. So I stopped because I wasn't sure what was gonna happen if I actually did the application, especially when they put the application online and made it a little easier. I was like, oh, I'll just do it. And then I was like, you know what? That seems like an okie doke, and I'm not going to do that. So it felt like I was setting myself up. So I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. Okay. So if you do go present yourself in person to vote, there's been a lot of questions. So we talked about this idea. We know that there's an idea of volunteer poll watchers, people that are out there, kind of white hat people that are out there making sure that they're is no funny business going on. We've also heard, of course, about this idea of poll watchers that people are thinking could actually stray into the idea of voter intimidation versus maintaining and verifying the sanctity of the vote. So what should people expect if they are in these lines or if they are waiting when it comes to how they should be interacting with people either from other campaigns? Like what should they expect? And then if they see something that's not that, then what should they do?
Right. So we're really going into the realm of electioneering and voter intimidation altogether. Right. So you, again, as a common citizen, campaigners are not supposed to be within 120 feet of the building that deals with where you vote. So not of the polling location necessarily, the building. So a lot of people interpret that as far as like the building and then across the street on a sidewalk or someplace else, at least 120 feet away from there. If there's anything else that's closer to that, you can go up to the poll workers and let them know, hey, I believe this person is too close to this area. And your poll workers should have that area marked off of saying poll area and have signs out there to make sure that people know you shouldn't come within this distance with any type of campaign gear on. That also goes along with people who are carrying armed weapons. They are not supposed to be within that range as well. So they're supposed to be 120 feet outside of that range where people are able to vote too. So if people are coming in with a concealed weapon or weapon altogether, make sure you contact your local poll worker and let them know.
Okay, so looking at right now though, so two questions I have for that then. So number one, can people wear campaign paraphernalia when they go shop?
Yes, you can wear it to Kroger. You can wear it to Kohl's.
When they go to vote.
Right. So no, you cannot wear campaign paraphernalia.
Okay, so everybody got that. Don't do that.
Now what if it's what if it was like Obama for president?
Let's just stay away from it all.
I'm asking for kind of jokingly, but kind of, you know, for real, like you should not just stay away from any candidate at all, period. Even if they're already in office or elected or whatever it is, stay away.
Sure, anything, just stay away from it. Normally stay away from slogans and everything else as well. So I would caution people from doing this. And look, we're the ACLU. We believe in your First Amendment right to express yourself in any form or fashion. What we're concerned about now is you being able to vote. Mm-hmm. So those poll workers or those poll managers, it's up to them to interpret if that is campaign gear or not. So let's not give them any pause of why they should not admit you in and tell you, hey, no, you can't go, have to go home. You have to change your shirt or anything else. Again, ACLU is here to hear those complaints or anything else. Our number one goal is making sure your voice is heard and that you're able to vote.
Okay. And one thing I did. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Elaine.
Well, I was going to ask you, you said hear your complaints and maybe we'll get to this. How do people do that? Because where's the right place to complain, particularly if it's a poll worker who maybe for some reason looked at Trenise and I and looked at our top and said, oh, no, that's, you know, you're, and clearly there's nothing here, or said, hey, you're violating some rule or regulation. And you want to, you know, say, hey, this is not right, or they won't allow me to vote, or there's some technical glitch. Where should they go? Where's the appropriate place to pick up the phone or send a text or send an email and say, hey, this is happening to me right now?
Mm-hmm. You can contact 1-866-R-VOTE. O-U-R-V-O-T-E. Okay. So 1-866-R-VOTE.
We'll be sending that out in the email too. One yes. more question about campaign wear stuff. And I think this is just kind of like an advisory thing. I have seen on social media, people have masks that have mm-hmm. the campaign slogans on. Mm-hmm. And that's, I would imagine that's not allowed either. So before you end up in a place where then you're standing there and you have to take your mask off, don't wear a mask that has something plastered across it either.
Absolutely.
Do you have any more questions, Elaine? Because
this is good. I
know it was good stuff.
6 hour vote. If you're having issues, I think is important. Christopher gave us some really great tips. Just make sure you tell your poll worker that you want to cancel if you already, you know, had your absentee ballot. Even ask. I'm now that you said that, I want to know, like, what do you see on that computer back there?
Right.
just tell me what you see about me so we can be on the same page before I go push this button. I mean, I don't know if this point it hurts to even ask, but there's so much speculation about what's going to happen, what's not going to happen. I think being so better informed and just asking the appropriate questions and not just assuming that you know what to do and that things are going to happen the way they're supposed to happen is probably the best we all can do at this point.
Let me tell you, I mean, there are so many stories about what even happened on the first day of early voting. We know that the first day of early voting was on Indigenous Peoples Day, aka Columbus Day, right? So there are a lot of
government. Just gonna let it ride with Indigenous people. You didn't have to clear it.
For every all of your viewers, so they can know. Translation. Right. There were a lot of offices that were not prepared for this because they were off on the first day of voting. So you were calling up the elections office, they were saying, well, no, it's Columbus Day. Like, we're not here answering the phone, which turned into longer lines and more confusion altogether. So just know that there are still a lot of gaps within this voting process. You just need to be aware. So making sure that before you go vote, checking your voting precinct beforehand. And that's an early voting precinct. You can call ahead and say, hey, is this open? Is it open between these hours? And you can ask them, what kind of wait line are y'all experiencing at this time too? Knowing that up front will make your voting process a lot easier. When it comes to electioneering or voter intimidation, the ACLU is well aware of that, as well as coalition partners. We will have legal observers out at some of the most, what we would call hotspot type of places where we think there may be voter intimidation. So you see someone with a blue vest that says ACLU legal observer on it, ACLU of Georgia Legal Observer. Those are friendlies. They are not a part of any type of protests. They're not a part of the poll workers and not part of the poll watchers. They are literally third party units watching to make sure that your right to vote is not infringed upon. And if something does happen, we have forms to make sure that if there needs to be a case or anything else, we are really very well documenting those things. So even if you see something that's happening, make sure you go up to them. You can talk to them as well.
Fantastic. This is all really, really great information. 1-800-OUR-GOAL. Give us your website address again.
Wait, was it 800-866?
I'm sorry. 1-866-OUR-BOAT.
Yes.
Okay. And then give us your website again and how people can find you on social media too, because you know people are probably going to be on their phones as they're waiting in line. So if there's things that they can do to reach out to you or to report things, how do they do that in real time? How do they get the information?
Good. Well, our website is acluga.org. You can follow us on social media as ACLU of Georgia or ACLU of GA. You also follow me at Attorney C. Bruce, C-B-R-U-C-E. And feel free to let us know any and everything that happens with the upcoming election.
Fantastic. Well, everybody, make sure you exercise your right to vote. Please, whatever way you do, take all of this great information and go back and review the first interview. Look at all of the tips that we have for you. Christopher, we thank you so much. We know you're busy. We know you've got your hands full. We wish you all the best. And thank you so much for what the ACLU of Georgia is doing. We appreciate you.
Well, again, thank you. Thank you both for continuously updating the people about this information. We're going to have a much smoother voting process because of it. So thank you.
Yeah.